talk about decentralization and fact and I will Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. And we talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on The Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game, or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened? With no choices. Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Check it out.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or you can be!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
America. Good morning, world. Good morning, lovely humans and creatures of the night and the morning. Today is Wednesday. This is from Z to Infinity, and I talk about a lot of different things. I have a host named Bryce who will join me later. Today is Wednesday. I'm on Wednesday mornings. Pacific Standard Time is 3 a.m. until 5 a.m. And then Mitch F., a really cool and handsome guy, will be after me. I cover many different topics. it's kind of tiring listening to, we all know the government's killing us. Not just through injections, not just through poisoned water and fluoride and toxic air from their chemtrails and their radiation, and they're stealing trillions and billions, trillions, millions, whatever, from us. We know they are murderers, rapists of children, kept in cages, cannibals. We know that. And we can go out and scream that, yell it out of our windows, that we're just not going to take it anymore. Some of us won't take it anymore. Today is May 4th. The year of 2022 is going by like a fast train. Like a fast bullet train. Or maybe like Trump would say, warp speed ahead. So good morning, America. Good morning, world. Everyone that's listening. Good morning, cats and dogs and all you creatures of the day and night. We're going to talk about Geronimo and what the government did to Geronimo and to many other Indian people, Native American people of America. Not only America, but Mexico. Not only Mexico, but Peru and other places. And other places. The black coats, the military machine. Yeah. Now us, with their poison vaccines, they're killing people. And I know of many people, unfortunately, on that list that are no longer on this earth. And some of them are facing some hideous things, like after they got their injections. I'm really, really ill now. Really ill. Thank you, government, you demons, and everyone in it. You're next. You think that this is going to go by unnoticed? Do you think that people will put up with what you're doing to this humans? The people? Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. Some do. And I try telling them what's happening. Maybe they care. Maybe they don't. Geronimo. Here's a poem from White Feather. They said he had the mojo. No bullet could touch him. A gift from the mountain spirits. Then watched over the land. His wives and children were brutally murdered. beautifully. And I'm sorry, my English sometimes is very bad because I'm, well, English was a tough language to learn, actually. And I knew many different languages growing up, but English was one of the last ones and toughest. But anyway, we're brutally murdered. So he went to war against Mexico and America. For years he was chased and always got away. And he survived fearlessly, walking through scaffolding gunfire. Wow, I think that's totally amazing. Being shot at and being so brave that he fearlessly walking through scaffolding gunfire. He was not a chief, but a medicine man, a spiritual man, a man of wisdom, a man of faith. He was the last Indian leader to finally surrender. In his youth, he was an unparalleled master horseman. He died a prisoner at 85 after falling off a horse. He was taken from his homeland, to which he never returned. His grave is not in his desert mountains. And we'll go on further about Skull and Bones and how they, and who they are as well, and what they did. But in Oklahoma instead, they say he had the mojo. His name was Goya Hakala. But the Mexicans and the Americans called him Geronimo and call upon the spirits of the Geronimo for yourselves. Because right now you need it. You need that. Some people say channel the spirit of Geronimo. Be as strong as a lion. Be wise. Have wisdom and strength for what the government's doing to us, to you, to your children, to your parents. Wow. You need the spiritual strength of Geronimo. So who was Geronimo? Geronimo was born in 1829, then died in February 17th, 1909. He was a prominent leader and medicine man from the Bidonkoi Band of the Apache. And I have a niece who's a midwife that lives in Apache Creek. That's a midwife to the Apaches. But anyway, the Apache people from 1850 to 1886. So during the gold rush time. And it's really fascinating to learn about your history of what country you're from. But since I live in America now, I think it's fascinating to know the history of America, as well as other countries as well. But today is America. From 1850 to 1886, Geronimo joined the members of three other Chihuahua Apache bands. And the Apaches live in the Arizona area, Nevada, Arizona. They had a large area until the government took it away from them. Like they want to do to you, too. To carry out numerous raids, as well as fight against Mexican and U.S. military campaigns in the northern Mexican states. of Chichua and Sonora in the southwestern American territories of New Mexico and Arizona. Geronimo's raids related combat action were a part of a prolonged period of the Apache-United States conflict, which started with American settlement in Apache lands following the end of the war with Mexico in 1848. Reservation life was confining to the free-moving, and yes, they were free-moving. We humans are free-moving. Reservation life was confining to the free-moving Apache people, and they resented restrictions on their customary way of life. Geronimo led breakouts from the reservation in attempts to return his people to their previous nomadic lifestyle. During Geronimo's final year period of conflict, 1876 to 1886, he surrendered three times and eventually accepted life on the Apache reservation. While well-known, Geronimo was not a chief of the Chichua. I'm sorry for mispronouncing that. However, since he was a superb leader in raiding and warfare, he frequently led large numbers of men beyond his own following. At any one time, he would be in command of about 30 to 50 Apaches. In 1886, after an intense pursuit in northern Mexico by American forces that followed Geronimo's third 1885 reservation breakout, Geronimo surrendered for the last time to Lieutenant Charles Bear Gatewood. Geronimo and 27 other Apaches were later sent to join the rest of the Chichua tribe, which had been previously exiled to Florida. What a big difference for them. While holding him as a prisoner, the United States capitalized on Geronimo's fame among non-Indians by displaying him at various fairs and expeditions. So they turned him into a clown? Is that right? They stole his land, destroyed his people, put him on a reservation, belittled him, and then decided on displaying him at various fairs and expeditions, which provoked Geronimo in turn with the opportunity to make some money in selling merchandise in 1898. For example, Geronimo was exhibited at the Trans Mississippi and International Expedition in Omaha, Nebraska. 7 years later, the Indian office provided Geronimo for the inaugural parade for President Theodore Roosevelt. He died at the Fort Still Hospital in 1909 as a prisoner. This is what the government did, and it's doing it to you. And you should do something about it. As a prisoner of war and was buried at the Fort Still Indian Agency Cemetery among the graves of relatives and other Apache prisoners of war. That's really horrible what the government did to these people and doing to you. You know people that are getting sick from the injections. And anyway, we have a chat room. Please come and join us if you'd like to. There's people from many different places. Too many places to name. But what they did, they're doing to you. Do you like it? Here's a poem. Mirrors. Mirrors. And this is by White Feather. Mirrors. What do you see? What do you see when you look in a mirror? Can you look at yourself in the eyeballs and just look at yourself, put a little candle up there by your dark mirror or mirror, have your lights turned off, and just have that mirror, like maybe it's some spotlights on your mirror, so you're looking directly at yourself and asking yourself some really deep down questions. Okay, mirrors, what do you see? We are mirrors our friends look into. While we look into the kaleidoscope of mirrors that they are, that which is mirrored can lose itself in the mirror and can forget which side is real. Some people are afraid to look in mirrors. They might be afraid to look at themselves in the eyeballs, which our eyes tell a lot about a person. And anyway, the mirrors goes on. When we toss out all mirrors, we cannot see ourselves and must simply be ourselves. We live in a hall of mirrors. What we see are reflections. We can be a reflection or become a projection or some combination thereof. If we look into the mirror of life and see no love, and there's too many loveless relationships. If you're in one, get out of it. Don't waste your time. Time is irreplaceable. And it goes by fast. So fast. So fast. I know, because I had a Great Dane that I had for 9 years, a beautiful, beautiful Harlequin Great Dane. Beautiful, beautiful. I trained her. I taught her well. And she was the princess of my life. And I had to rehome her. And thank God, she found, well, I found, and lots of people wanted her. 6 acres in the woods for her to be happy and have her own. She has 2 beds now, 2 single-sized beds and a couch, and 6 acres to romp on. And, well, 9 years went by fast. I remember the first day I met her down at the beach. And I paid $1,000 for her. And I loved her so much. She was my girl, my baby girl. And I took good care of her. But then it was time for her to find a better home. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart so much I cried for days. I cried for weeks. Sometimes I still cry. But I knew that it was time for her to move on, to find something better than what I could offer her. And so I found her a place for her to go to John and Peggy, who love her dearly and treat her like the princess that she is. And sometimes we have to do that with our own relationships. Just let go and say it's time to move on. We can be a reflection, or we can a projection, or some combination thereof. If you look into the mirror of life and see no love, then we know what is missing within us. If we project love and joy and beauty, it will be reflected back to us. But we cannot truly project that which we do not feel. Can we? Can we project something that we cannot feel? That we do not truly have within us? Sometimes we must close our eyes and just feel and let that be reflected to those still lost in the mirror. In the mirror could be ghosts. Take that candle, a white candle preferably. Put a hedge of protection over yourself. Pray. Pray to God. Pray to your high being. And look in that mirror. It could even be your blank computer screen. It could be a scrying mirror. And look into it. And you might see shadows of past lives. Or you might see shadows of ghosts. Or future things taking place. The princess brushed her hair and applied her makeup, but she never sought her beauty until she cast the mirror aside and realized that beauty needs no mirror. It exists everywhere, hidden behind all the mirrors. And a mirror can be, well, our false self. What we want to portray to others, which we really may not be, but what we want to portray to others, so maybe we can fit in. Maybe we can wear that mask, which is funny because people still do wear masks. And, well, some of them do drive around in vehicles or bicycles or walking by themselves wearing a mask. And why are they wearing a mask? What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of?
Mean blues. Feel this is the end. Pulling me down, it's making it hard tomorrow to see. Three days I ain't heard from my girl.
And so here we are, another day in May. The 4th of May. And time just seems to be going by so fast. Here's another poem by White Feather. It's called Willow Branches, Childhood Adventures with the Great Mother. I was a little boy, no more than 9 years old. I was down by the river collecting willow branches, and willows were beautiful, for my mother, an aunt, and all other women of the tribe. I supposed to be with two other boys, but they did not like me, so I went my way. I went my own way. The two boys made fun of the fact that I was different. They taunted me, but were actually very afraid of me, for they would never stand up to me when I stood up to them. I rarely stood up to them, though, because they just were not worth the effort. And sometimes, when we're trying to explain to people, hey, you really don't need to wear a mask. Hey, you're really suffocating yourself. You know that? We're not meant to be breathing oxygen that's coming out of our mouth and body and our lungs and going into a mask and rebreathing that in. I mean, it's not meant for humans or animals to be wearing a mask and being suffocated just because the government told you to. I knew they were the best willow branches where I went straight to them. I knew just the size and the age of the branch that the women wanted, and I went to the right, and I went right to the perfect ones, cut them, stacked them, and tied them, and laid them out on the ground to make my prayer before those other boys ever found my willows. Then I proceeded to do one of my favorite things in the world. I sat down in the soft sand alongside the river, just an arm's length from the water, and I began to talk to the Great Mother. And we need to do that. We really do. I thanked her for being my protector in this strange land. This, you know, we're just visitors on this planet. I mean, you know, our life is, you know, everyone's lifetime is accounted for them. It's different. Some people die when they're born. Some people a year, when they're a year old. Some people when they're 90. But we're very short time span on this planet. And then we go for infinity, eternity, forever. Some believe in reincarnation, past lives. I personally hope I don't have to come back here again. I don't want to come back here again. I've had many friends that said, yes, they believe in past lives. And yes, they do want to come back here again. And I said, well, good for you. I hope you do come back here if that's what you want to do. I personally want to go experience other parts of infinity, of the vastness of all the different universal existence of what's out there. This is just a small planet, a very small planet. If this is really true and there are planets, because it could be, idiotically, a figment of my imagination. Anyway, I blanked out all thoughts and sounds and listened to the music of the river, of the reoccurring gurgling sounds of water washing over rocks. It was a sound that always led me home to the Great Mother. And beautiful, oh, so beautiful, the rivers and streams. And looking at the fishies go by and the little froggies and the crawdads and swimming in the water or going rafting, either whitewater rafting or just rafting on a raft by yourself. I was about to ask the Great Mother for some special help when my reviver was suddenly interrupted by a great rustling of feathers behind me. I jumped up in a start, turning around. As I did so, there was two arm lengths in front of me was a giant white bird that had just landed. The bird was as tall as me. At first, I was startled by this magnificent white crane, but then in an instant, I realized that she was the Great Mother. I was overcome with the most intense love that could ever be felt. I could not stop the tears from running down my face. I was overcome with joy. I thought that she was coming to take me home. Sometimes we do call to be taken home. Like, get me the heck out of this planet. I want out of this prison. I want out of this prison world of where the government's trying to kill us through all their different means. But nonsense, little boy, said the crane. Although I heard no words spoken, I came to take you flying, little boy. Let us go flying. Suddenly, fear gripped me from head to toe. I did not know where it came from. I stuttered as I replied to the crane. But, I can't. I'm just a boy. I can't fly. The whooping crane said nothing, but I could suddenly feel intense energy enter into my chest and go out to all parts of my body. My tears stopped flowing, and the fear left me as though being quickly rinsed off me. I felt her say, "Let's go." Great Mother then took off in a mighty flapping of wings, and before I knew what was happening, I was flapping my arms, and they turned into wings as shapeshifter, and I was rising up off the land. I concentrated on the whooping crane and just tried to follow her. The sensation of flying through the air was so miraculous that I forgot any fear that I had. I followed the whooping crane as she took me high into the sky. After asking me through all manner of aerial maneuvers, I chanced to look down at my body, and it was then that I realized that I was a hawk. And thank you, Nighthawk, Mike Ringley, for starting Revolution Radio back in 2010, just as a group, and then January 1st, 2011, officially starting this beautiful program for everyone to listen to and donate to called Revolution Radio Freedom Slips. And we have a chat room at revolution.radio. In that moment, a whooping crane teaching, he said, I chanced to look down at my body, and it was then that I realized I was a hawk. A whooping crane teaching a hawk to fly? I was confused. In that moment of confusion, I lost sight of the whooping crane and suddenly felt as though I would fall. With a sudden whoosh of air, the Great Mother flew by me, and I once again reconnected with her. We flew and flew and flew. I found out what it was like to fly through a cloud. I found out what it was like to fly, what it was like to see the far-off mountains from above. I found out what it was like to float effortlessly far above the buffalo, who now look like ants. It was better than swimming. It was better than dreaming. I wanted to keep flying and flying, but I then heard the Great Mother's voice inside my head. She said that it was time to go back. At first I wanted to protest, but the joy of flying was too much from any protest to come forth. I just followed the whooping crane, enjoying every twist and turn into the wind. I never wanted to stop flying. Before I knew it, we were landing on the soft sand beside the river where I had been before. I did not do a very good landing and ended up with sand in my eyes and mouth and ears. As I shook off the sand, I heard my mother's voice. I stumbled up and saw my mother and my aunt walking towards me. My mother was scolding me before she even reached me. Why was I alone and not with the other boys? Did I not know how unsafe it was for the child to be alone away from the tribe? Did I want to be kidnapped by scouts from that tribe that was at war with us? Did I want to die before I grow up and make the tribe proud of me? I never protested as my mother grabbed my arm and pulled me with her. My aunt grabbed the willow branches and managed to swap me with one of the loose ones. Following the women, I managed to turn around for one more look back but I could not see any whooping crane. And that's by a poem by White Feather. And White Feather is a Native American person. So we're talking about Geronimo and what the government did to Geronimo, which is now happening to us. And when I worked for the tribe, and we have tribes here in Oregon and Washington, one of the chiefs would say, you know what they did to us, our history, our generations past, they will do again.
Geronimo, his given name was Goyacla, one who yawns, but he later earned the nickname of Geronimo that has since become synonymous with battle. Geronimo was born near the headwaters of the Gila River in what is today New Mexico, sometimes around 1829. He was the grandson of a chief and a member of one of four bands of the Chiricahua Apache, the Bedon Cohoy. Up until the 16th century, the Chiricahua homeland had stretched across 6 million hectares, or 15 million acres, in the U.S. Southwest. But all that changed after Spain conquered Mexico and extended its domain well north into Apache territory. By the time Geronimo was born, the Apache had been fighting Spanish troops for more than a century. At 17, he was admitted to be the band's war council and joined raids against Mexico. A turning point came in 1858 when he and his band traveled to conduct trade in Casa Verde, Arizona, still held by Mexico at that time. They left their women and children camped outside of town under guard. When they returned from their business, they found Mexicans had attacked and killed nearly everyone in camp, including Geronimo's wife and three children. I could not call back my loved ones. I could not bring back the dead Apaches, but I could rejoice in revenge, he later said in a dictated autobiography. Geronimo joined forces with three other Apache bands to march deeper into Mexico, where they captured, killed, and scalped in retaliation. James Polk was elected America's 11th president in 1845. He believed in the concept of manifest destiny, that it was God's will to expand the United States as far as the Pacific Ocean. America had already annexed Texas, and Mexico had claimed everything to the West and refused to sell it to the U.S. So the U.S. declared war and won all or part of what is now the Western states, including the Apache homelands. Settlers began pouring into the region, sparking waves of sometimes brutal attacks by Apaches and earning them the reputation of bloodthirsty savages. By 1872, the Chiricahua realized that they were fighting a losing battle. Their leader, Cochise, negotiated a peace agreement with the United States government, by which he agreed to stop fighting and move his followers to a reservation in their home territory. But the government reneged on the agreement 2 years later and forced several thousands Apaches to a reservation at San Carlos, Arizona, a barren place that U.S. troops called Hell's 40 Acres, Outraged, Geronimo and a group of followers escaped. He would elude the army for a decade, hiding out in the mountains or slipping back and forth over the border with Mexico. All the while, newspapers and magazines across the country roused audiences with tales of bloodthirsty insurgent, vague on details but terrifying nonetheless. In 1884, the government detailed an astonishing 5,000 troops to capture Geronimo and his band, aided by hundreds of Apache allies and volunteer militia. Geronimo, worn out from the chase, finally surrendered in late 1886. The army promised Geronimo he would not be executed, but rather would be exiled for 2 years and then allowed to rejoin his family in Arizona. As it turned out, Geronimo would remain a prisoner of war for life. One of the conditions of the surrender was that the free Chiricahua Apaches would see their family upon arrival in Florida. President Grover Cleveland, however, was still expecting an unconditional surrender. Unbeknownst to the Chiricahua, Mars had decided that since Geronimo had broken all of his prior conditions of surrender, all terms agreed upon were now null. The U.S. government never intended to allow the Apaches to see their families when they got to Florida. Geronimo and his band were taken to Fort Bowie, where Geronimo drank from Apache Springs one last time. It was at this site that he fought next to Chief Cochise 24 years prior to the Battle of Apache Pass. Geronimo was now 65 years old. He took his last steps on his native land and entered a train car, for the first time in his life bound to Florida. The U.S. government had rid itself of the Apache problem once and for all. On a train ride out to Florida, Geronimo's band was afraid they would be killed at any moment. Upon arriving, Geronimo and his band were not reunited with their families at Fort Marion as promised. Instead, they were taken to Fort Pickens. They would not reunite with their families for over 2 years, breaking Mars' terms of surrender. Many Chiricahua died of malaria while in confinement. A daughter was born to Geronimo while in confinement, though he would not find out until later. The first group of Chiricahua Apache who had been moved to Florida were dwindling due to malaria. They were moved to Mount Vernon in Alabama as prisoners of war. It was an unfamiliar landscape to them, in the tall trees instead of open desert plains. Their children were sent to school in Pennsylvania to learn Christianity, English, and other aspects of American lifestyle. Many of these children caught tuberculosis and died. Chiricahua parents back in Alabama began to hide their children so they wouldn't be taken away. After 2 years of imprisonment in Florida, Geronimo and his band were moved to Alabama and were finally allowed to see their families once again. General Crook visited Chiricahua in Mount Vernon. By this time, he had lost all respect for Geronimo and did not meet with him. Crook instead met with the other leaders of the Chiricahua. Crook publicly condemned the schools in Pennsylvania. He also suggested that the Chiricahua be sent to live at Fort Sill Reservation in Oklahoma, which would be a more familiar environment to them. Crook died 2 months later. When the Chiricahua moved to Oklahoma, there were only 119 left. After 8 years being prisoner of war, it was the first time in 8 years that they could once again hear the coyote howl and collect their prized mesquite beans. Geronimo, once known as the worst Indian of all time, had become one of, if not the most famous. His already impressive deeds had been exaggerated again and again all around the country and the world. He toured the nation performing for fairs and exhibitions, such as the Buffalo Bill Sideshow. He sold little trinkets such as buttons from his coat, which he could replace. Geronimo even rode in Teddy Roosevelt's presidential election parade. It has been said that more people turned out to see Geronimo than Roosevelt himself. Geronimo asked the president if he and his people could return to the Southwest. But Roosevelt refused, saying there was still too much hate for Chiricahua in the Southwest. At the urging of settlers, Geronimo attempted to learn Christianity in his old age. He struggled, however, under Christian principles to forgive himself for all the killing he committed, especially children. An artist once visited Geronimo to paint him, and the painter stated that Geronimo had revealed his bullet wounds to him and said that there were over 50. "Bullets cannot kill me," Geronimo said, and they did not. In 1909, Geronimo was returning from a printing bench one night when he fell off his horse into a ditch. He stayed in the ditch until morning and contracted pneumonia. Before he died, Geronimo stated that he never should have surrendered, but instead should have died fighting. He passed away days later. In 1913, after 27 years of imprisonment, the Chiricahua were finally set free and were no longer prisoners of war. One-third opted to stay at Fort Sill, while two-thirds moved to the Mescalera Apache Reservation in New Mexico. At the time of Chief Cochise, the Chiricahua Apache had numbered 1,200. At the end of the war in 1886, they numbered 500. By their release, they numbered only 261. Here's a picture of Geronimo kneeled with his rifle. After his family massacred, Geronimo would wear his hair short for the rest of his life. It was a sign of mourning among Chiricahua Apache. Here is a scene in Geronimo's camp before surrendering to General Crook on March 27, 1886. Geronimo and Natchez mounted, and Geronimo's son standing at sight holding a baby. This is a picture of Geronimo, his son, and two picked braves. This is a scene in Geronimo's camp before surrendering to General Crook on March 27, 1886. This is a scene in Geronimo's camp again before surrendering to General Crook in 1886. This is a group in Natchez camp and boys with rifles. This is a picture with Geronimo in the center on top of a hill with his warriors. Geronimo and his warriors in the Sierra Madre of Mexico. This photograph was taken in 1886 before Geronimo surrendered to General Crook on March 27. These pictures show a campsite in woods with General Crook, Geronimo, Captain Roberts, Nana, Lieutenant Mouse, Captain Burke, and three interpreters and other Apache Indians. This picture shows the castle between General Crook and Geronimo Summary at his camp in the Sierra Madre at Canon de los Embudos in Mexico on March 25, 1886. It's showing Chihuahua, prisoner of war, Calle and Geronimo. This is a picture of Geronimo, front row, third from right, and his Chiricahua followers as prisoners of war en route to Florida in 1886. This is a scene in Geronimo's camp before surrendering to General Crook on March 27, 1886. This is a picture of Geronimo full length seated with two nieces standing at his side.
Geronimo. Here's a poem. Geronimo, they call me white cheese. I was there to put a flower in my hair. No experience can compare. For 5 long years, on Thanksgiving I stood there, and high on that tree hung a reindeer. Just across the street was a wiki up in my sight. But what did I know about Apache ways? The medicine man, he was there to pour water on my head. Luckily, I wasn't dead. Trumping on the sacred land, I was invited in my time to dance and to unwind. No white man would go there, where they would share. But they knew all in good time about that fire way down deep as a treasure I would keep down in my belly. Boundaries I knew I would know with fire in the light glow. Anyway, we'll be right back. Going for a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
You're going back in?
There's still men out there. I go home. People ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolith and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We'll never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two swerving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey guys, I'm HP, this is Dr. Pink, and today's topic is... Come out.
Hello, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the break. This is Zoe from Z to Infinity. And before I bring Bryce on, I'm going to be saying a poem. And we're talking about Geronimo and what the government did then and is doing now to us human beings, not only us human beings, but to the planet. And we can't stand it and we can't take it anymore. So go out there and show that you're brave like Geronimo. Because what happened then is happening now, but in a grander scale. People are dying. They got poisoned. They decided on taking those shots that the government was telling them to take. That people like Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and I don't know who else because I don't really pay attention to them because I know that they've always lied. And that they're reptiles in human form, like shapeshifters, that rape children, keep them in cages and sacrifice them and then eat them and smile with a huge smile on their face. And here's a poem. Sometimes pure silence or the sound of wind chimes willing to do anything to save their own hides. People still committing horrific crimes. During low and high tide, it's been one hell of a roller coaster ride. A whirlwind inside my mind. All these rhymes. Days and nights spent getting sky high. Oh, yeah. And the government says, oh, sure. Go out there and do meth. Go out there and do heroin. Go out there and do LSD and get yourself drunk. That way you can keep your mind off of what they're doing and killing and stealing and destroying. It's seeming like a sign of the times. I say I'm fine, but I'm not all right. Always feels like I get nowhere when I climb, no matter how hard I try. Can't even look in my eyes, quick to assume I'm telling lies. And some people, when you're telling them, hey, look, you know that mask you're wearing? Well, you're actually doing yourself more harm than good. I mean, unless you're really around a contagious person or you're super contagious yourself, which you're not, but you might be, but you're totally psycho, okay? That's totally psychotic. You're breathing in expelled oxygen back into your lungs, which we humans are not, and animals are not meant to do. And particularly when you're sitting in a car or running or riding a bike or on a motorcycle or jogging or swimming or skateboarding or roller coasting and you're wearing a mask. And there's no one else around you. What the H are you doing? Well, you can get some odd behavioral remarks, but really, you know, some people are total zombies, brain dead. Quick to assume I'm telling lies wasn't the first and won't be the last goodbye. If you let it quickly, time will pass you by. I was reaching the skies, then taking dives, achieving nearly every prize, or living among the mosquitoes and flies. I had many lows and even more highs. I've been a fool, but I'm still wise. You better recognize and realize I still get butterflies. While I'm living life, trying to survive, seeing the moon's glow or watching the sunrise, sometimes it hurts. Feels like I'm confused. Feels like I'm cursed. Still I delve and search across the earth. Too many perverts and jerks continue to lurk. Meanwhile, snakes out to us up, as well as nearly every other twerp, which is why I stay alert. Similar to Captain Kirk, already ready to put in work. First things first. To me, it doesn't matter if he did or didn't go to church. For what it's worth, better or worse, before I'm in a hearse. In the dirt. I still got an insatiable hunger and thirst. I know there'll be no effect or ripple that can domino. Time will tell if we truly are or are not alone. I gotta go in Rome, across the globe. I want to know from here to way beyond the Galapagos as well as Guantanamo, humble and heroic, doing the impossible, paying homage and occasionally saying, Geronimo. Feels like Socrates, don't need apologies, traveling across seas and on lands fought with trees, constantly see what others would not believe, and am going to continue the odyssey, traveling vertically and horizontally, staying still or moving with velocity, as folks hold on to animosity, forever unable to display the clamabriola, not focused on such novelties, people with good and bad qualities. The same can be said for policies. They're ripping you off. They're killing you. They're destroying your future. Do you have children? What is their future? Do you have parents? I don't. But if I did, and they got injured by some vaccine, I'd be very, very upset. And I'm watching people around me passing away. I'm watching some people around me getting ill with cancers and other things. They're killing you, destroying you, and not softly. The same can be said for policies. I remain an anomaly in my own mythology and ferocity, holding on subtlety while remaining an oddity. And now we have Bryce. Welcome, Bryce.
Good morning, everybody. Just like to remind everybody that Revolution Radio is completely volunteer organization. None of the hosts get paid. And the station does not sell anything or make any money. Nobody gets paid. Anything that comes in that we get any money is strictly for donations. It's 100% listener supported. If you want to donate, you can go to freedomslips.com and up at the top, click on donations, and it lists all the ways we can that you can donate. We accept Patreon, donor box, and direct payments. And we also accept three different forms of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. And if you want to send a check or money order, you can send that to Revolution Radio and address it to Terry Ackerman, T-E-R-R-Y, Ackerman, A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. And her address is 1793 North Eden, E-D-O-N, Road, and that's in Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Michigan, and the zip code is 49227. And if you go to freedomslips.com, you can also click up there on store, and that'll take you to our store where all kinds of things you can purchase and buy, and all of the proceeds from that support the network. Currently, everything in the store right now is 15% off if you use the coupon code Z Wednesday 15, singular, not plural, Z Wednesday 15, and that will get you 15% off. And that code is probably good just for today since it says Wednesday. But we have everything from coffee mugs, T-shirts, to bumper stickers, to mouse pads. And if you see one of our designs that you really like but you don't see the merchandise you'd actually like it on, if you click on – I'm just clicking on a coffee cup here, for example, and scroll down to the bottom of the page, you have the option to transfer the design to a product, and you can transfer it to basically any product that Zazzle carries, even if we don't have it in our store, from teapots to pitchers to specialty mugs, soup mugs, chili mugs, candy jars, you know, flasks, you name it, you can get anything that they have on Zazzle, you can transfer our design to. And, of course, any proceeds from those sales, too, of the specialty things you do, will support the station. So please consider supporting Revolution Radio and helping us stay on the air and pay the monthly bills and the yearly bills, too, for things like domain name and everything else. And I'm going to turn it back over to Zoe.
Ian, can you tell about advertising space and things like that?
That's a good question. For advertising, you have to contact – the only way you can do advertising, far as I know, is contact Thomas via Skype, and I do not have that information, and I do not have him on Skype to give you that information. But you can ask in the chat room if you see him. His username is Ahmad, and him or another staff member, which I'm not anymore, can direct you on how to do that. But I don't know anything about that. All I know is he needs to be contacted privately, and I don't know anything about that. That's way above the host pay grade.
So I'm sorry if you get some feedback right there. What else, Bryce, can you tell us about Revolution Radio for newcomers and people that might not be aware of Revolution Radio and are out there listening?
It's Revolution Radio's been around a long time. It's always been listener-supported. The owner died, and it's continued on. We continue chugging along, even though we've had a mass exodus of hosts lately, but we've also been bringing in some other hosts to fill the gaps, and some old hosts are coming back. But we have, ideally, if all our slots were filled, we'd have 48 hours of programming a day, because we have two different channels. We call them studios, but they're really channels. But if we had all of them filled, then that would be 48 hours. Right now, they're not all filled with a mass exodus, but they are working on getting more hosts back. But it's just there are shows that will cater to any interest just about. And, you know, there's just a lot of good stuff to listen to. So if you find one show that you don't like, try one of the other shows.
Talk about Geronimo.
Okay. Geronimo's been pretty interesting just for the fact that, you know, what was done to the Indians back then and our government trying to wipe them out and destroy them and basically turning Geronimo into a sideshow freak to perform at carnivals. And now we're in the state we are with the COVID nonsense, where the highest demographic of people dying are Native Americans. And it was said almost from the beginning that because of it affects the ACE2 receptors, and the way bodies are designed, that out of the major races will, you know, Native Americans, Black people, Asians, and white people. White people have less ACE receptors than the other races. So it's been targeting the Native Americans more, targeting the Blacks, and it's been targeting the Asians. And it's just not a week that goes by that I'm not reading another article about how many Native Americans are dying. And even at the recent powwow we went to, there was a huge gathering of Native Americans there, and there were some that were wearing masks, and some of the ones wearing masks were elderly, but I certainly don't blame them when this is a, quote, virus that is largely targeting them. And there's a good book that just, you can buy it on Amazon right now if you're part of the First Reads program, or otherwise you have to wait till June 1st when it's released. But it's a interesting book. It's a murder mystery, and it's based on alternate history where the whites never came to America, so the United States and Canada don't exist. North America was never colonized, and this really focuses on, I'm going to massacre the name here, Ojibwe detective from the Ojibwe nation, that was the dominant Indian nation in the Great Lakes area in the upper middle part of the country. And it's a pretty interesting take on what life could be like in this continent had the whites never came here and the Indians continued and advanced in their, advanced just past the teepees and the other stuff. If they became more what we would call, I guess, civilized. But there's just so much that has gone on over the years with Geronimo in particular. So many legends and, such a fierce warrior that he did not initially want to be part of Cochise's treaty and broke away from the tribe, and him and his renegades unleashed hell upon the Mexicans and the Americans. And such a fierce, brave warrior to have such a sad ending and then not even being able to rest in peace because of all of the disrespect shown to him after he died. And it's just, he's just one of many that our country and the founders of our country just treated the people that were here first like garbage, and we're not even seen as human. We're seen as savages and less than human. And I'm reminded of old TV show Branded, the one episode where it focused on the treatment of Native Americans, and they were trying to tell Jason McCord that, they're not human, they're not people. And, he pointed to the squaw, as they called them back then, but she was crying because they had just killed her husband. And he said, look at those tears. She's human. And it's just, we have always been such grandiose words I can't say on the air here, but we just came and declared this country as our own and just started destroying the civilizations that were here when we got here, and that we would not have been able to survive here our first several years without their help in teaching us how to survive here. But that's just seems to be the way of our society and many other societies. I mean, I'm not like poking fun at America, because you got to remember that truth is America was colonized by Europeans. So, so that's where the true evil came from. But, and if you look at the history of all the countries in Europe and slaughtering all those opposing races and everything in there, it's just was brought over here and continued. And it put the stain of all these souls on our country as well. And Geronimo, like I said, the disrespect that was shown to him after he died is the stuff of legends, and Zoe's going to touch more on that in a very shortly here. But it's just still today, you know, every couple of years, one of the states or sometimes the federal government is trying to take away Indian land or try to redistrict some of the reservations or try to take some of the national parks that's on Indian land away from the Indians. And I'm slipping sometimes and saying Indians instead of Native Americans. But at my age, when we went to school, we were taught American Indians, and I use both. And I mean no disrespect to by using American Indians, but it's just to see the people today, at least many of the tribes and the nations are thriving. And sadly, a large part of that has been because of the casinos and stuff that are on the reservations and a lot of the sporting events that are allowed on the reservations that may not be allowed in those states but can be allowed on the reservations. And, you know, so at least they're prospering now. And many of the nations have revenue sharing where what the nation brings in, the people that live on the reservation do get a cut of that, which is...
Talk about the powwow. And the casino.
And I've never actually been to a casino, so I can't really comment on casinos. But we do have a casino here where we live that is Indian owned and run.
It's huge.
Yeah, I've ridden by it in the car, and it is huge, and it's even got movie theaters, bowling alleys, and all kinds of stuff in it.
Dancing, and restaurants.
And very nice motel. One of our friends from church actually works as a housekeeper at the motel. And as out of the casinos I've seen on the outside, this is a really high-class one. And, you know, we live in the area where a lot of tribes are around. And last week we talked about the powwow we had went to, and that was just really amazing just to be able to share in their culture and get to experience that for the first time in my life, because anything I experienced before was on the East Coast and mainly in the Cherokee, North Carolina area, and it was mainly there the stuff was kind of little programs put on for tourists and stuff, and it wasn't really authentic, and it was more kind of just little shows for the tourists, and, you know, you weren't really getting to see the real thing. And that's what was so nice about that powwow, and I look forward to going to many more in the future. But I'm glad to live in an area where there's just such a rich heritage, and there's still so many Native Americans around. And anytime we're out and about, you see Native Americans, which is great, because you very rarely see them on the East Coast. I happen to have a friend who is Native American in Florida, Stephen George, who was a really good friend for a few years. But otherwise, you didn't see a lot of Native Americans on the East Coast. So it's really great to be in an area where there's multicultures and, you know, it's celebrated and not frowned upon. And people are very accepting, and just people accept other people here and their differences. And one of the most amazing things, though, that I've seen probably in my lifetime was that powwow, though. That was the biggest exposure to, short of the going into Chinatown in San Francisco back in the day and seeing the daily parades and events there, this was the second biggest exposure to a different culture, and it was just, you know, it's something I'll remember the rest of my life. And like I said, I'll have many more experiences with that too in the future here. But just the East Coast and even much of the middle of the country, we just do not get exposed to that. And it's a shame because there is just so much still going on, and these tribes are surviving and thriving, and they're very good, proud people of their heritage. They should be proud of their heritage. And, you know, I'm not necessarily always got along with my mother the best, but the one thing she taught me, the difference between like black people and white people and Native Americans and white people, was that black people and American Indians had a heritage that we don't. And it's just amazing to see that culture firsthand. And I'm going to put it back over to Zoe.
Hi, thank you, Bryce. And yeah, powwows are great, and it's springtime, and more powwows happen during spring, summer, and fall than during winter. And being in the West Coast, I don't know about California, but in Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, there's lots of powwows taking place at different areas, different reservations, and things like that. But today we're covering, and welcome, lovely people, earthly travelers, Geronimo. And Geronimo's skull at Yale's Skull and Bones Secret Society is one of the things that the government did. Grave diggers. Thieves. Criminals. What do you do with a criminal? And not the ones that are in prison, because these criminals are 1,000 times different. And they're laughing about it. And they're showing everybody what they're doing. And what are you going to do about it? Measured against Yale standards, Geronimo could scarcely have regarded himself as a scholar, although for Chiricahua Apache, I'm sorry if I mispronounced some of these words, Apache standards, he likely thought he measured up pretty well as a seer, meaning a medicine man and a predominant warrior. His clairvoyance and his prestige notwithstanding, however, he probably never foresaw finding a long-term home at Yale. With an honored place in the esteemed university's most prestigious enigmatic fraternity, the Skull and Bones Society. A student organization that taught future presidents the value of chronicism and secrecy. This is how Geronimo qualified for Yale. Geronimo did not look like the stereotypical candidate for Yale, not to mention the Skull and Bone Society. In an early version of the manuscript for the book, Making Peace with Cochise, Captain J.A. Slatin described Geronimo in his early 50s at the time as an old-looking, very dark-complexioned, unprocessing-appearing Indian. His sensual, cruel, crafty face, as well as his dissatisfied manner, had prejudiced me against him from the first. He was short and stout in size, exceedingly dirty, and wore a white man's shirt, loose like a blouse, with little else beyond the usual breechcloth and moccasins. If he had few academic credentials, looks lovely, however, Geronimo had won the respect of the Chinchinas for his ability to see events. He had the gift of seeing, prophesying, of seeing future events outside the normal range of human perception. That skill, of course, would have served him well for preparing for Yale's exams. Leading a war party at the height of the Apache conflict, he and his warriors had paused near Cascas Grandes in northwestern Chichua to eat. Geronimo was sitting next to me with a knife in one hand and a chunk of beef, which I had cooked for him, in the other, said Jason Betzinzi in his book, I Fought for Geronimo. All at once, he dropped the knife, saying, men, our people, whom we left at our base camp are now in the hands of U.S. troops. What shall we do? This was a startling example of some of Geronimo's mysterious ability to tell what was happening at a distance. I would call that remote viewing. I cannot explain it to this day, but I was there and I saw it. As his war party turned back for the base camp to investigate, Geronimo said, according to Benzinzi, tomorrow afternoon, as we march along the north side of the mountains, we will see a man standing on a hill to our left. He will howl to us and tell us that the troops have captured our base camp. About the middle of the next afternoon, said Benzinzi, we heard a howl from the hilltop to our left. There stood an Apache calling out to us. Geronimo and his warriors heard the report that the main camp, now some 15 miles distance, was in the hands of the U.S. troops. Thus, the event which Geronimo had foretold came to pass, as true as steel. I still cannot explain it. Geronimo also gained the Chinchmala respect as a medicine man with battlefield surgical abilities that might have proven useful in a Yale's pre-med academic programs. Usually about 8 persons work together in making medicine. He said in his autobiography, Geronimo, his own story. And there were forms of prayer and incarnations to attend each stage of the process. Some of the Indians were skilled in cutting out bullets, arrowheads, and other missiles with which warriors were wounded by the U.S. government. I myself have done much of this, usually using a common dirk or butcher knife. Nearing 40 years ago, Geronimo gained respect at another level among the Apaches. He became an exceptionally fierce warrior in a war-making society after a Mexican force massacred his band's encampment in northwestern Chinchula in 1858. I found that my aged mother, my young wife, and my three small children were among the slain, he said in his autobiography. None had lost as I had, for I had lost all. A year later, Geronimo, driven mad by his thirst for revenge. That's what's happening now. People are dying from the injections that the government told them to take. They're watching their children get sick with heart attacks. Their friends dying, their loved ones dying. Some are losing many people in one family. Anyway, Geronimo lost his mother, his wife, and his three children. A year later, Geronimo, driven mad by his thirst for revenge, led the Apache War Party into battle against the same Mexican force in southern Sonora on the western slopes of the Sierra Madre Range. I thought of my murdered mother, wife, and babies. I thought with fury. Many fell by my hand, and constantly I led the advance the Apaches had seen, still covered with blood of my enemies, still holding my conquering weapon, still hot with the joy of battle, victory, and vengeance. I surrounded by the Apache braves and made war chief. Such battlefield experiences would certainly have been enlightening for those skull and bones society members who would someday hold office of President of the United States and send our military forces into war. Over the next 2.5 decades, a prophet, a healer, and a Top Gun warrior, Geronimo would forge his place in American legend alongside the Babel Chiefs, Coast Chiefs, and Mangas, Colorados, although he never reached the heights in the tribal hierarchy. For nearly 3 decades, he capitalized on his skills to lead the Chief Warriors on raiding parties across northeastern Arizona, southwestern New Mexico. It sounds like the Four Corners, which is beautiful. And into Chinle and Sonora. He led them in escaping from the hated Apache Reservation in southeastern Arizona, taking with them southward into Mexico's Sierra Madre Mountains. He led them into desperate flight from U.S. and Mexican troops and civilian militia. Finally, in early September of 1886, Geronimo, with the remnants of his band, dispirited, starving, and defeated. That's what the government wants to do to you. Take away your food. Poison your water. Poison your air. Defeated, gave up their quest. He surrendered to the General Nelson A. Miles of Skeleton Canyon in the Poloncillo Mountains near the Arizona-New Mexico border. Geronimo promised by Miles that he would be reunited with family members on a forested reservation in the east. Instead, he found himself imprisoned with other warriors. That's what they're doing. Now, with squalid and disease-ridden prison in Florida, still a prisoner, he was moved, finally reunited with his family to Alabama. And then, in August of 1894, to Fort Steele, New Lawton, Oklahoma, where he put the Chilea way of life behind him. Even so, he still did not find the door open to Yale. So who are these people in Yale? The 13 most powerful members of Skull and Bones. In 1832, Yale students, including future President William Howard Taft, father, found one of America's most famous secret societies, Skull and Bones. Since then, the group has come to signify all that both memorizes and repulses the public about the elite. Each year, only 15 jurors are tapped or chosen for lifetime membership in the club. A windowless building on 64 High Street, The tomb serves as the club's headquarters. The roof is a landing pad for a private helicopter, according to Alexander Robbins' book, Secrets of the Tomb, Skull and Bones. The Ivy League and the hidden paths of power for the Perk and other Bonesmen must swear total alliance to the club. So what do these people do to Geronimo? How Yale recruited Geronimo. One night in late May of 1918, more than 9 years after Geronimo fell, not to the white man's rifles, but to his liquor, 6 young army officers from Fort Sill's School of Fire stole into the Apache Cemetery on Beef Creek, armed with picks, shovels, and axes. They threaded their way quietly through Apache graves, markers, until they arrived at Geronimo's resting place. After everything they've done to this tribe and the people, these white people from Yale, government people, became grave diggers and robbers, and that's who we have in our country. Alumni of Yale members of the Skull and Bone Society, they came in great secrecy, mindful as one of them had said that 6 army captains robbing a grave wouldn't look good in the papers. They had come to recruit the American legend, believing him fully qualified for Yale and their organization. Did they ask anybody if they could steal Geronimo's body from the grave? How would you like it if the government came and stole your family member from the grave? Of those named, the captains, according to Catherine D. Liz Zila, and Mark Alden Branch, whose Skull and Bones Yale Alumni Magazine, May-June 2006, including Charles C. Hafner, Henry Neal Mellon, Ellery James, and one Prescott Bush. The later would become a business in Connecticut, a member of the United States Senate, the father of President George H.W. Bush, and the grandfather of President George W. Bush. These army captains, like at all Skull and Bones members, address each other not as sir, but as Partridge or Knight. According to the Skull and Bones Society, own history of our order for the century celebration, 17 June 1933, written by one of the organization's members, one of the 6 grave robbers recalled that the ring of pick on stone and thread of earth on earth alone disturbs the peace of the prairie. An axe pried up the iron door of the tomb, and Pat Bush entered and started to dig. He dug in turn, each one relief, taking a turn on the road as guards. Finally, Pat Ellery James turned up a bridle, soon a saddle horn and rotten levers followed, then wood, and then at the exact bottom of the small round hole, Pat James dug deep and pried up the trophy itself. We quickly closed the grave, shut the door, and spied home to Pat Mellon's room. where we cleaned the bones. Pat Mellon sat on the floor, literally applying carbolic acid. The skull was barely clean, having only some flesh. You know what they would do now? They would take that DNA and they would clone Geronimo. Having only some flesh inside and a little hair, I showered with Hit the Hay, a happy man. The Skull and Bone Society has long called the story a hoax, says Lacia and Branch. But only a few days after the captains robbed the grave, Society member Winter Mead wrote in a personal letter to member F. Truby Davison that the skull of the worthy Geronimo, the terrible, exhumed from its tomb at Fort Sill by your club and the K Knight Haffer is now safe inside the T or tomb, the crypt like home of the Society, together with his well worn fumes, bit and saddle horn. According to several accounts, the Society placed Geronimo's skull, bones, and artifacts in a display case near the entrance of the tomb, making them, according to San Francisco Bay View Internet site, part of a collection of dozens of skulls, including Pancho Villa's. You think that Pancho Villa would like his body for the Skull and Bones Society of Demons? No. Look what they're doing to the humans now. No, he would not. Other human remains, several coffins, and Adolf Hitler's silverware. Geronimo, presumably having now lost his head and gone to Yale, might have been bewildered by the strange band that had forcibly inducted him into a life of establishmentary secrecy. George W. Bush, in his campaign autobiography, A Charge to Keep, said that his senior year at Yale, this is what he said, I joined the Skull and Bones, a secret society, so secret, I can't say anything more. So who are these people? They're located at a windowless building on 64 High Street. The tomb serves as the club's headquarters. The roof is a landing pad for a private helicopter. Who started it? William Howard Taft, class of 1878. As the only person to serve as both President and Supreme Court Chief Justice, Taft earned a spot on our list. The 27th president of an old bill during his Yale days, but later earned the nickname Big Lub. Next one, famous person, Walter Camp, class of 1880, known as the father of American football. Camp, with other classmates, developed the game from the Brits' version of rugby. He played in the first rugby game at Yale against Harvard in 1876. Lehman Spritzer, class of 1935. These are just some people listed. A notified astrophysicist, Spritzer dreamed up the idea behind the Hubble Space Telescope, the first method to observe space. He also lobbied NASA and Congress for funds and oversaw production of the actual machine. Potter Stewart, class of 1937, the son of Midwestern congressman Stuart became the editor of the Yale Law Review during his time at Yale. As a Supreme Court Justice, Potter sat firmly in the middle of an ideology war on the bench. Notably, he wrote a dissent in Griswold versus Connecticut in 1965. Nick George Bundy, class of 1940. Before becoming one of JFK's wise men, Bundy may have relied on his big brother to help him get into the skull and bones. William Bundy, who graduated a class earlier, went on to serve as State Department liaison official, notably during the Bay of Pigs invasion. George Herbert W. Bush, 1948. Before Bush became the second Bonesman to occupy the Oval Office, he was also a pilot in World War II and served as ambassador to the Communist China, director of the CIA, and, of course, vice president to Ronald Reagan. William F. Buckley, Jr., 1950. Known for his outspokenness and transatlantic accent, Buckley symbolized the most conservative band of politics. Buckley later founded the political magazine The National Review. J.F. Kerry, 1966. The current Secretary of State and former Senator from Massachusetts, Kerry spent a childhood abroad with his diplomatic father before attending Yale and gaining membership to Skull and Bones. These people are well known. Grave diggers, murderers. Frederick W. Smith, class of 1966. Smith, an official, often forgotten Bonesman, expounded FedEx, founder of FedEx, the first and largest express delivery company. And there's more, and I'll put this in the chat room. And I want to thank everybody, and I'll see you guys next week, next Wednesday. And thank you, Bryce, for everything. And Earth Travelers, enjoy yourself. And be like Geronimo, brave. Bye-bye.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. That you're so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
In the morning
at Revolution Radio freedomslips.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live on Studio A with everybody's favorite politically incorrect host, Mitchell Bob.
Yeah. Hey, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are truly witnessing the evolution of revolution. That everybody just kind of follows along in a docile manner. I knew something was wrong.
Okay, now it's time for the regressive establishment's worst nightmare. And the world's most dangerous radio host. Tell them how you feel.
Good morning. Wow. Yeehaw. Come on down and join us. Freedomslips.com. Revolution.radio. Come on. Just do it.
Gotta turn it up a little, huh?
Now from you.
Yeah, all right. Come on down, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah, things are pretty kind of pretty, how should we say it?
are pretty intense today. Did you hear that yesterday? Yeah! Yes, liberals are having a meltdown. Come on down, join us. Let's turn up the heat, turn on the truth, and expose the hidden facts that you may not even be looking at. So join us, ladies and gentlemen, the Revolution in the Morning Show, streaming live from Franklin County, Virginia. I'm your host, Mitchell Bupp. Welcome to this evolution of the revolution here on listener-supported, commercial-free, Revolution Radio. So come on down and join us and get the facts, not some scripted nonsense from a bunch of paid lackeys that are more like public relations employees of the Democrat Party. Yeah, you know, the liberal lies are long and deep, aren't they? Yeah. Anyway, we're streaming around the world on iTunes, TalkStreamLive.com, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Winamp, just a few of the streaming services that carry a Revolution Radio. So you can join us there, ladies and gentlemen, and get the facts, not this scripted mind control you get from ABC, NBC, CBS, fake Fox News, playing the flip side of the coin. Remember, every con controls both sides of the viewpoint, so to speak. Remember, you are the mark. That's right, you're the mark. You're not Mark. You're the person who is being targeted. Your mind is being targeted. Call in and listen at 518-906-1839. 518-906-1839 to reach Studio A. 1-859 to reach Studio B. Yeah, so remember, Revolution Radio, more than 80 hosts bringing you the truth and news and information that they really won't allow anyplace else. Censors have gone wild everywhere. They believe it's, they have the right to control your mind. They think they have a right to control your speech. They think they have a right to control your body. You take the vax, Jack. Nah, man. My body, my choice. No, it ain't. You could hear liberals screaming that in the last 2 years, in the last year and a half, right? You better get a vax. You don't have your body. It's not your choice. Yeah. Yeah. And what happened? A Supreme Court draft opinion by Judge Alito overturning Roe versus Wade. But it does a lot more than that. And this is why Democrats are shitting three bricks to Sunday. And this is another reason why the establishment Republican Party, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and all of the old school Republican sellouts will also be against this. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with a woman's right to murder a baby. As abhorrent as that is. Yeah, then, I mean, that's what we're talking about. I don't believe it should be because of my religious beliefs, my spiritual beliefs. However, that does not mean that here in the United States of America, that it should be completely outlawed. There are definitely times when abortion must be, there must be. Okay, I'm sad to say, but there must be an abortion. I disagree. I think we have enough problems, and I think there's enough shit going on, and this is just another case of federalism. I call it the interference of the courts, of the court systems in the affairs of the states. Whether it's Pennsylvania, whether it's Florida, California, or wherever, the states have the rights to set their own abortion standards. The federal government took on something that was never theirs to deal with. It's not in the Constitution. So therefore, it defers to the states to handle. Okay? This is the real essence of what is happening here. Okay? Roe versus Wade is overturning the precedent that the federal government supersedes its power in the U.S. Constitution. And the sons of bitches that love big government, that love big mother effer here in 2022, okay? They are the same ones that were snuggling up and kissing Big Brother. So the truth behind the facade is that the federalists, the federalized powers of the government, of the federal U.S. government, in an overreaching manner, did the original Roe versus Wade. Remember, the courts were acting activist during that time period. And that was a poorly conceived, if you ask me, deal. Because what we're doing and what we have done is we have stripped the rights of individual states. We have stomped on states' rights again and again and again. And, you know, remember, a lot of this shit happened when the Democrats of the Confederacy, that's right, the Democrat Party is the Confederacy of the Old South. Get your history correct there, young folks. It's not Republicans. But anyway, in the end, the Democrats wanted to fight for states' rights, but they lost. They lost the Civil War. It was 800,000 roughly Americans dead. It's a horrific thing. People have no idea how horrific it was today. They don't get it. They don't understand it. Now liberals are, how should we say it, going off the deep end. They're framing this as this, you know, as this, what the hell's that? Lists. I didn't think I created lists. Anyway, yeah, it's a lot of stuff going down. I'm trying to find some of these clips that I've been seeing on Twitter and other places of how, you know, Elizabeth Warren, for example, she actually called for what appeared to be an insurrection. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's about what it, you know, what it amounted to. Here's Elizabeth Warren. I found the clip. You'll enjoy this. But folks, Ahanis, she hasn't been this upset since her results came back from her DNA. Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs. But here you go. Here's Elizabeth Warren.
How are you feeling? I am angry. Angry and upset and determined. The United States Congress...
walking on the shrubbery.
They just need to do it.
I've never seen you so angry. You seem to be...
This is what the Republicans have been working toward this day for decades. They have been out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want. 69% of people across this country, red states and blue states, old people and young people, want Roe versus Wade to maintain...
No, I don't believe that. They don't understand exactly what Roe versus Wade represents and the intrusion into places in the Constitution where this dingbat and other asswipes, wherever they are, whether it's some retarded Republican, was he from Michigan, said, well, if my daughter gets raped, you know, I'll just tell her to lay back and enjoy it. Man, I'd be telling her, I said, you remember his face? Yeah, because, you know, he's going to be going to prison if he lives that long. And I guess that's how I would feel about one of my children if they got raped. You know, man, the poor guy would meet Mr. Razor Man. Yeah, meet the knife, and he'd be a eunuch afterwards. I mean, really. Oh. Why it went there, I have no idea. Anyway, yeah, so here again, Elizabeth Warren outside the Supreme Court with her extremist views.
Because I am angry. Woo! I am angry because an extremist United States Supreme Court thinks that they can impose their extremist views on all of the women of this country, and they are wrong.
Yes!
Republicans have been fighting for, angling for decades now, and we are going to fight back. I am angry because of who will pay the price for this. It will not be wealthy women. Wealthy women can get on an airplane. They can fly to another state. They can fly to another country. They can get the protection they need.
Wait a minute. What this dingbat just say? Here, listen. Listen what this dingus just said. This dingus. She's a dingus.
They can fly to another state.
They can fly to another country.
They can get the protection they need.
On
the poorest women.
Hey! You dipshit, did you ever hear of a condom? And all the health departments in every city and every state that I know of give them away for free. That's right, free rubbers. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you'd have wrapped the rascal, the chances are, yeah. But then again, you know, we're talking about the irresponsibility that people have today. Really, it's that crazy. it's stupid. And calling this extremist, it's extremist that, here, get this, you'll like this. It's extremist that the states have the power that is granted them in the Constitution. These shit for brains, hey, they remember they wanted to nationalize elections. They're already trying to nationalize speech and control thought. I mean, I think Congress should identify as effing idiots. That should be their preferred gender. F-I. Yeah, Congress, what are they? Yeah, when you become a Congress member, you generally become an F-I. Now, you might be a functioning idiot of exceptionality, but most of them are just idiots. And the only thing they really know to do is to have a group of people that are conspiratorial, right, in nature, because they control all these levers and they manufacture things to look and appear as they want. Here's a short clip that Elizabeth Warren has essentially is now starting to incite an insurrection in the middle of her rant, and she doesn't even realize it. It's just a 5-second clip of some of them rant, of that rant that I was showing earlier. Listen.
And we are gonna fight, and we are gonna fight, and we are gonna fight back.
And we are gonna fight back. She's telling people this in the street. In Los Angeles, or in front of the courthouse, Supreme Court building. Are they trying to shut down and manipulate this? Politicize it and cause an insurrection. And that's the only thing they can pray for the midterms. This isn't an accident or a happen chance. This is more like a game plan by the Democrat Party to get their operatives energized. It's red meat for the machine. Yeah. So, idiocracy rules, doesn't it? Reporters and staffers from CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, Politico, and other participating news organizations have tested positive for COVID-19 after attending the White House correspondents' dinner. Nah, really? Hey, did they take a PCR test and jack it up to 40 when 30 is more than sufficient, and anything above 30, 85% of those are false positives. So listen, PCR test, you can make it essentially read anything you want by running it as many cycles as you need to get a positive. It's unfortunate, but that's how it works today. In fact, they even have, this is really good, they even have, nah, never mind. No shit, the news is coming out. They need this. They have to have this. The Ukraine war, it's way over there. It's not here. So it's not having a big enough impact on the people. So they have to create a war zone here. Los Angeles, yes, Los Angeles, riots and violence started by, that's right, liberals protesting about the right to murder a baby. Yes, it's absolutely horrendous. I was trying to, I got to get to that one too. I was trying to find a bookmark I had earlier. At least I hope I bookmarked it. And, of a, woman, that was, testifying in front of a group of legislators. And, she effectively, said that the mother could demand or get an abortion if a doctor believed that her mental health was in jeopardy. And, you know, the bill that was proposed would allow it into the third trimester. Well, the speaker said, well, you know, they were trying to hee-haw around saying exactly what the bill was going to do. She said she apologized because the scientists weren't here today to testify. Knowing damn well she's just evading the questions, okay? And the final nail in the coffin was, listen, if a woman is about to, is already dilated and is about ready to have her baby, and she has, well, panic thoughts, or, you know, she can tells a doctor she's going to go crazy and she wants to abort right then, right there. Minutes before birth. They would be allowed to murder that child, to abort that baby. This is California shit. I mean, it's sick. It's sick, sick stuff, man. But what people don't realize is that power doesn't belong to the federal government. It belongs to the state's government, the states. Okay. Period. End of story. It has no place at the federal level. Then liberals don't like that because that makes it all a state issue. And there's 50 states, right? And all the territories, might as well call them states, right? They, except they get half rights. Oh, there it is. I need to drag it out. We'll be right back. Get some good stuff going on.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Radio.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. 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 Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yeehaw! Welcome back. It's the Revolution in the Morning Show. Come on down, join us, get the straight truth on Revolution Radio. Hey, here's one for you. I found this clip, and this is Representative Liu, I believe, and being questioned. Here, listen, just listen to this. How demonic and how unmoral this really is.
Tran.
Yes, sir.
How late in a pregnancy would your bill apply if a physician was simply willing to certify that the continuation of the pregnancy would impair the mental health of the woman? How late are we talking about?
So the way the suggestion that we've made in the bill is to say it's in the third trimester and at the, you know, with the certification of the physician. So
how late in the third trimester would you be able to do that?
You know, it's very unfortunate that our physicians, witnesses were not able to attend today to speak specifically.
No, I'm talking
that.
About your bill. How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay. But to the end of the third trimester.
Yep. I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs of that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would
make. I understand
make
that.
At
I'm
that
asking
point.
If your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Ouch! Yeah. Yep. Hey, man, I mean, it was just weeks ago. Liberals couldn't define what a woman was. I mean, how is it now that they all can define what a woman is and where a baby comes from and everything else? I mean, what happened to Elon Musk? Oh, my God. It's like an immaculate conception with Elon Musk, man. I'm telling you, it must be something like that. Oh, man. Oh, God. Goddess. God, Elon. Yes. I shouldn't say that. I got to. Little guy, there's a little guy named Elon. Listen, hey, I hope y'all doing up well up there in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Somebody told me this morning, I saw it posted online, one of my Twitter followers and friends said, damn, $6.09 a gallon for diesel fuel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. $6.09 a gallon for diesel. Now that may be high price. I don't know who in the hell is going to be able to afford to, how should we say it, drive the diesel trucks back and forth. Yeah, gas is bad enough, ain't it? But yeah, it's crazy. Fuel prices are going through the roof. They've shipped more diesel to Europe or Europe and South America, more exports. Than ever. Here we are in the United States and we're facing a shortage. Shouldn't we be throttling back on our exports, right? This is why every nation must, to a degree that they can, build an infrastructure for petroleum and fuel products to keep their economy growing in their nation. Not just, you know, a terminal where some massive ship pulls up every 2 weeks and pumps, you know, 5 million gallons of whatever into the line. It's got to be a little more, than that. Meanwhile, hey, Russia has cut off gas to Poland and Bulgaria. Now, they were already threatening to do this because they haven't paid for the gas that they received. Period. End of story. If you don't want to pay for the shit that you buy, you shouldn't buy it, should you? And, you know, with the sanctions, oh, you can't pay for it. You can't pay in rubles. You can't do that. And, you know, the West and their economic warfare against Russia, and that's what it is. It's an economic warfare against Russia isn't going to help you and I and everybody else. It's only going to help the people that already have the money if you're not aware of that. But anyway, European leaders condemned it as blackmail. Blackmail my ass. You know, if it was me, if I was Russia, I would cut off every pipeline going into Ukraine. They wouldn't get a drop of Russian gas or oil up into the Donetsk region. And then everything from there on out would be, well, let's just say, it would be removed from the system. And it's unfortunate, but that's how you have to do countries, particularly when they're puppets of another of the United States of America. You know, Ukraine's nothing but a condom for the U.S. Neocons and neoliberals. I'll tell you right now, if you can't see all these war-loving, death-killing Democrats out here that remember, they used to claim to be the peaceniks at one time. Yeah. It's a sad thing. Sad, sad thing. But the United States started all of this in 2014 under Traitor 44 Barack Obama, when Victoria Nuland and the United States of America funded color revolutions and had the real Nazis, you know, shoot the government troops, shoot the protesters, shoot the police, and went into, you know, action from there. Victoria Nuland, you know, instead of being with the U.S. State Department, her ass should be in Guantanamo Bay. She should be in Gitmo, in a prison with domestic terrorists labeled above it. Americans don't want to know the truth. Hell, they've been propagandized so bad they wouldn't know it if they heard it. And it's going to come as a shock to Americans. And this is another reason why they have to have all of this happen right now. With the Hillary Clinton indictment soon on the horizon, that the John Durham investigation that has laid bare the conspiracy between Hillary Clinton, Fusion GPS, Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, Michael Sussman, Charles Dolan Jr., good old Igor Danchenko, Anita Hill, the Brookings Institute, you know, the Democrat National Committee, the Hillary Campaign for America, all colluded, conspired to, let's see, to not only to spy on the internet traffic of the president-elect, but then to spike and juice up that report with other bullshit. Fed lies not only to the FBI, to the CIA. We already know that the seventh floor of the FBI, that core of group, were highly prejudiced against Trump and General Flynn. And we can look at the Flynn Flam trial of General Flynn. You can just see the dual justice in America. People in January 6th that committed misdemeanors are being treated as if they, you know, they're on, how should we say it, on trial for some heavy felony against the U.S. government. It's absolutely ridiculous. The over the top stuff that you see going on in Washington, D.C. And now the left in government, now they will be challenged because there will be violence from these pussy liberals that cover their faces like the KKK Klantifa. Hey, did you hear out in the Johnny House in Portland? Antifa has set up a quote unquote autonomous zone in front of the federal courthouse. You know, and all of these pussies have their faces covered. They're all dressed in the same color, black. And, you know, the truth is mostly 99% of them are pasty, white, middle income parents, you know, little kitties that have been hiding out in the basement that have been indoctrinated by the cult of Marxism. You know, it's just crazy what we see going on. Yeah. It is. Vladimir Putin told, I should have said this earlier. Vladimir Putin told Emmanuel Macron that France is almost ready to be on the front line of the Ukraine war if they don't stop sending weapons. In other words, it's not France he's talking about. You realize that. It's all of NATO. That all of this from the start that the West has not backed an inch from maintaining their right to engineer countries with social media, other types of media and news and information. And then, you know, create a color revolution at will without repercussions. And see, this is probably the biggest problem here is that, all of Europe didn't say jack shit about the United States overthrowing the legitimate government of Ukraine. A couple times. Not more than once, if you didn't know. Even the Ukrainians will admit that. You know, oh, well, it took several, you know, overthrows to get it right. My God, listen to you. An outside power from the United States comes into a country, overthrows the government, to create a linchpin of at the underbelly of Russia. It's a bad thing to try to do when Russia has asked you time and time again in the last several years to stop advancing east. That you made promises, but you're not keeping them. And you're not only, you're creating the revolutions to create the governments that ask for NATO to come in. So, it's going to be when it starts, it's going to be a fast escalation. Okay. And you will see, strategic hits on U.S. radar stations and, satellites. That's what I would expect to see at the opening salvo. But also, you know, troop concentrations in Poland, you know, are just begging to be hit with a battlefield nuclear weapon. And here's the other thing. When the Russian troops would break through, will the Americans then say that's justification to use their battlefield nukes? So then the Russians do, the Russians have another, use one of their atomic powered submarines, you know, take out a convoy of weapons. You know, it's all kinds of shit that's going down that could go down that people don't think about. General Milley, you know, the kiss ass general from, Joint Chief of Idiots says that chances of war among great powers is increasing, not decreasing. Well, what do you expect when the United States of America has been going around from South Africa or from North Africa into the Middle East, into East Asia, into Ukraine? Revolution after revolution, sponsored by the CIA and the NSA. It's not an accident. Really isn't. Yeah. Well, if you didn't know, your home store, not Lowe's, but Rural King, you know, Tractor Supply, States, what does it call it? Something farm gear, farm goods stores. Well, they're going to be run over by liberals now. Yes. Now liberals are turning to horse medication, for abortions. Nah, yeah, it's true. An anarchist collective is pushing a DIY medicine that has been released with detailed instructions for making abortion pills. Well, isn't that great? They're teaching people how to make babies abort. Now, evidently, they're using a type of horse medication that's used for ulcers on horses and is widely available just as ivermectin, that horsey paste for, you know, the COVID. Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, run down to your Tractor Supply, get some stuff, research it a little bit. I'm sure it's on the internet. I didn't track it down too much. I was just laughing about it, because what in the hell is the matter with people? You know, there's people that need to be locked up. George Soros is one of them. Ukraine is part of his mess in the making. Also, you know, the inner cities in the United States and the, how should we say it, the unsafe environment that is caused by no bail or show bail or whatever. A little slap on the wrist and send the little kid back out in the street to carjack again or to shoot again. That's absolutely stupid. Anyway, here is an expose a little bit about George Soros, as I call him.
Soros and his, grant making organization, Open Society Foundation. The papers exposed the group's ongoing attempts to influence political processes in Europe, in Russia, other parts of the world as well. Here's Guy Nature Chicken.
Leaked documents from George Soros' Open Society Foundation show persistent efforts by the organization to influence the political process in Europe. To reach out to European voters, the organization has funded local advocacy groups, social media projects, and journalists. Here's an example. Over $130,000 went to a project by a group called EU Observer.
This project uses professional news reporting to foster debate on how open society values are under stress in the run-up to the European elections. EU Observer recruited experienced local journalists to visit campaign events, conduct interviews, and solicit high-level op-eds in 16 countries.
While the Soros organization has been doing all this hard work trying to influence politics in Europe, a leaked document shows the organization's $500,000 effort to find evidence of Russia's alleged influence in Europe's political life. The proposal reads, quote, "The evidence is still rather sketchy and based more on strong allegations, hence the need to first do a proper mapping. End quote.
I think that the European public is underreacting, and that's why I'm trying to explain to them the real danger that Russia represents.
From the leaked document, we also see that the Soros team recognizes the problem of trying to accuse Russia of influencing politics in Europe.
Naming and shaming from us is problematic. We also are in the business of channeling money into other countries for political purposes.
When he says,
yeah, George Soros, I'm telling you, he's still mad because the Russians ruined his Nazi gig. You know, he had a great, you know, future in that like. And so he's been trying to work to destroy not only the West, but governments in general, to turn them in to a cesspool of hell, while saying, I'm trying to help you. You know, it's George Soros is like the U.S. government. When they say, hi, I'm the U.S. government and I'm here to help, you run like hell. You say, no thanks, carry your ass. You shouldn't be here. Yeah, why don't you go help somebody else? Because the last time you helped somebody else, the American Indians ended up on reservations. I mean, really. Subpoenas finally issued to obtain the identities of individuals and non-governmental organizations who may have engaged in the crime of ballot trafficking in Georgia. That's right, in Georgia. That's right. All across the United States, there was an organized effort by non-governmental organizations to pay people to collect ballots and then drop them off, which is, I believe, is, you know, illegal. And, you know, considering, you know, they had drop boxes and the amount of stuff that's being put out there. You know, the 2000 Mules, documentary, you know, proves that there are organized ballot stuffing efforts in the United States of America. Now, whether they're legal or not, I don't know. Maybe each of these people signed an affidavit to have their ballot collected and whatever. And, but still that, how should I say it? That's still not legal under the laws and definitions in these states of what they're doing. And so True the Vote, which I hope maybe next week I might have one of those folks on for a morning interview at 9 a.m. Yeah, I'm hoping to. It'd be nice because, you know, we... You know, the election was stolen. Everything Joe Biden's doing should be wiped clean.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at...